Wondering what's going on with Ukraine right now? Follow along with me for a minute. Karl Marx created the foundation of what is happening in Ukraine today. His real name was Karl Heinrich Mordecai Marx. The father of Karl Marx was Herschel Mordecai, who was the son of Rabbi Mordecai Marx Levi, who was the son of Samuel ben Mordecai Ha Levi, who was the son of Lajos ben Mordecai, who in the 1400s, Lajos Mordecai changed his name from Mordecai to Schwab. So the Schwab bloodline today is the bloodline of Karl Marx. But wait, there's more. Lajos ben Mordecai Schwab was the son of Samuel Leopold Schwab II, who had changed his name from Guntberger to Schwab in the 1500s. And he was the son of Samuel Guntberger, who changed his name from Bauer to Guntberger. And the Bauer bloodline was originally named the Bacharachs during the time of Christ. The Bacharachs in 1501 changed their name to Bauer, and then 76 years later, in 1577, they changed their name to Rothschild. So they're all related.
The bloodiest and most destructive racial and political movement in world history, Bolshevism. The world has begun to awaken to the horror of the atrocities perpetrated in the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, and elsewhere under the rule of communism. And yet few understand the depth of the evil involved, the source of ideology, and its true goals. Though suppressed in our schools and in our education in America today, the undeniable facts are that communism is a Jewish ideology and a movement inspired by Talmudic Judaism. See, they read out of their book, the Talmud. We Christians read out of the Bible. Because, see, the Bible with the Christ has nothing to do with Jews, and the Jews have nothing to do with Christ, because they're the Christ killers. And created and led by ethnic Jews for the purpose of mass genocide and destruction, and for the former achievement of their planned New World Order. I want to state this. I want to be totally, unequivocally clear here that I and what I will show tonight as evidence, I dare anyone to dispute me on what I will reveal and make known in this teaching. I care not what degree you have. Doesn't matter to me whatsoever. The origin of communism. Communism is hatched 1848 with a pact with Satan. This is Karl Marx. But years ago, even in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, before they took all of this understanding away from the textbooks in our educational sector, they told you that Karl Marx was the originator of communism. That's not true. Also not true, that wasn't his name. That was his pen name. His real name was Moses Mordecai Levi, the grandson of a Jewish rabbi. The Jews Karl Marx, Moses Mordecai Levi, born in Germany, and Friedrich Engels penned the Communist Manifesto. But it goes much deeper. Behind these two, the communist conspiracy is being directed and funded by other influential Jews, all the way up to the immensely powerful international House of Rothschild, who owns all the central banks of the world, including the private Federal Reserve Bank in America, controlled Jewish banking cabal, the architects of the infamous New World Order conspiracy, or the one world government. Marx and his Jewish cohorts and his elite Jewish backers, especially on the East Coast of the United States, as adepts of the true nature of satanic Babylonian Talmudic Judaism, are devoted followers of Satan who intend to set the world aflame in an orgy of terror, mass murder and bloodshed, and destruction. Marx, alias Moses Mordecai Levy, wrote poems about his desire to, quote, bring the world to ruin, unquote, and to lure mankind into the abyss in the company of Satan and follow after with laughter on him. Judaism is Satanism. Jews today are Turco-Mongolian blood. They are not of white European blood or of white European ancestors. A lot of them look white because they interbred with white Europeans, but they are still Turco-Mongolians. You have heard for many years that the Asiatic would rule the world in the end time. They just didn't tell you it was the Turco-Asiatic Jews that they were talking about. So everyone took for granted it would be the Chinese. The religion called Judaism is not the religion of the true Israelites or the descendants of a man renamed Israel of the Old Testament, but rather Babylonian occultism. The most holy book in the religion of Judaism is called the Babylonian Talmud. It teaches that the Jews are destined to rule the world and inherit the wealth of the world and enslave all the non-Jews, or whom they call Goy, and that only Jews are human, with non-Jews being subhuman cattle, Goy, who exist only to serve Jews. The Talmud espouses vicious hatred for Christians and non-Jews, including teaching that Jesus is in hell, being boiled in hot excrement, and that Jews may exploit, rob, and kill non-Jews. The stated and the real aims of communism. Here we have a picture of Vladimir Lenin. Lenin was a butcher, and he was an adept follower of Marx, alias Moses Mordecai Levy. Here we have the rifle butts. Here we have the hot pokers. And here we have the killers, all right, of Lenin and his murderous horde of the pictures. Here we have one throwing an old potato masher they used to call a grenade. Communism calls for the overthrow of all existing governments and religion, including Christianity. The lofty talk of a socialistic utopia for the working class is just the bait to trick the masses into revolution and installing the tyrannical Jewish leaders of the communist movement into power. The ideology is merely a vehicle for the annihilation of the Western Christian civilization and the achievement of world Jewish conquest. Now you're saying to yourself, well, if we have all these problems in America, why are you going back to tell us this? Why don't we talk about America? Well, we'll get there. We're going to get there. But you see, unless I set a foundation for you to understand the basis of the destruction and who's behind it, you won't fully grasp what's taking place against you in the United States today. And who's in political office today in Washington, D.C., perpetrating these things? And in your state capitals. Moses Hess, the illusionist, Freemason, and founder of Zionism and Socialism. Moses Hess was the teacher of Karl Marx and Engels. This is the Jew who actually was the teacher of what we call Talmudic communism, the Antichrist, to Marx and Engels, and which prompted them to pen the Communist Manifesto under alias names.
For the last 31 years, the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland, has been bringing together an unprecedented mix of global, political, and business leaders. Next January, for the first time in its history, the forum will hold its annual meeting not in Davos, but in New York City. Klaus Schwab is a founder and president of the World Economic Forum. I'm pleased to have him at this table for the first time. Welcome. It ought to be said that you and I, just to take note, people always say, where were you?
And it's outside.
You and I were having breakfast in New York on September 11th.
Afterwards, it happened. I was visiting some friends to prepare our annual meeting and heard about it. And of course, the next 4 days were just a tremendous shock. I couldn't believe it.
And how long did it take you before you were able to, assuming you wanted to, go back to Switzerland?
I had to drive by car on Friday night to Montreal. And finally, I could catch a plane on Saturday from Montreal back to Geneva.
You have announced that you're going to take the what's now called Davos, the World Economic Forum, to New York City. Why?
I think it's very symbolic. When you, for several reasons. First, it's an act of solidarity. This city and the American people have had such a tremendous tragedy to suffer, and I feel the world has to be behind them. But there's much more behind it. When I came back, and of course very much influenced by what I have seen, we decided that we should adapt our program. And it was clear that the 11th of September in some way created a new chapter in history. And when we look forward, nobody really knows how this chapter will look like. We have certain ideas. Of course, we are fighting now under the leadership of the president and the coalition. We are fighting terrorism. But there are so many other aspects. So we thought we should take an integrated view, and we should try to develop a long-term vision. How will the world look like in the coming years?
Jacob Frank Liebovich is the mastermind behind a global network of satanic cults. He taught that the Creator God was evil. Jacob Frank proclaimed himself as the true Messiah. he vowed never to tell the truth. He rejected every moral law and declared that the only way to a new society was through the total destruction of civilization. Murder, rape, incest, and the drinking of blood were perfectly acceptable actions and rituals. His followers established the Marxist system and have infiltrated Islam and Judaism. He was the Messiah of the Illuminati.
Jacob Frank rejected traditional Judaism. He reversed the truth and told his followers, since we can't all be saints, let's all be sinners. The best way to imitate God, said Frank, is to cross every boundary, transgress every taboo, and mix, as God did, the sacred with the profane. Orgies, incest, rape, and sexual intercourse with children, including sodomy on young boys, were no longer sinful. In 1773, Jacob Frank traveled to Frankfurt, Germany, the birthplace of the Illuminati. That's where he formed an unholy alliance with Adam Weishaupt and Mayor Amschel Rothschild's banking dynasty. The ambition of the Rothschild dynasty was to win control of the world's gold, central banks, and wealth. The Rothschilds sent John Jacob Astor, Jacob Schiff, and Paul Warburg to America, where they influenced the privatization of the Federal Reserve banking system and the dismantling of the American Constitution. The goal of Weishaupt and the Jesuits was to take control of the Vatican and its hierarchy of Catholic clergy. Weishaupt formed the Order of the Illuminati.
Can I ask any of you guys a question? Are you guys in fear? Are you guys in fear of anything? Terrorism? The war on terror? This what I'm wearing right here, I got in the Marine Corps after 9/11, after those towers went down. There's a lot of people that are afraid of people like me that would risk everything, right? Because my father was a firefighter, rescue too. If I would have followed in his footsteps, I would have been in that tower. But no, I was 26 years old. I said, all those people that went before me and fought for what I thought was my freedom, it was not, because the actual perpetrators of 9/11 was Israel. Israel did 9/11. I will fight for my freedom. Yes.
If I understand. Just take a deep breath, though. Again, I was just explaining that they have a job to do.
That's all. I got my deep breath out, didn't I? Did I break any sound codes? Why are you all here right now? Taking away our freedom!
It was clear that the 11th of September in some way created a new chapter in history.
I was not a fan of his. That I can tell you. I was not a fan of his.
Yet, a tape in the NBC archives of a Mar-a-Lago party shows Trump giving Epstein his personal attention. Trump is seen talking to Epstein and another man as women are dancing in front of him. Trump alternates between dancing and pointing out women to Epstein and the other man and telling Epstein about the cameras. Though exactly what they say is difficult to understand as they discuss the women and their appearances, Trump gestures to one and appears to say to Epstein, "Look at her back there. She's hot." And then Trump says something else into Epstein's ear that makes him double over with laughter. But as the president says now, he never liked Epstein.
I was not a fan of his. That I can tell you. I was not a fan of his.
Efficacy achieved and 100% compliance, so to speak. Very fast efficacy achieved and 100% compliance, so to speak.
Some people have even taken to wearing protection on the streets. Why are you wearing this mask, sir?
I don't know, just feel safer.
Okay, thank you. Katie, the folks at the Atlanta Disease Control Center told me that these masks wouldn't stop a flu germ with a hangover.
I don't know how many different ways I can say this. The so-called super flu does not exist.
Then what is it? Why is everybody talking about it?
I don't know why everybody's talking about it. I don't know where the rumors are coming from. It must be a figment of the press's imagination. I don't know why I'm up here answering these questions. I don't have the answers, because there's no such thing.
Thank you.
все. Коллега, его коллега-консультант отказала бы от Киев, он положил до
Франции.
Да, это не так, а что он не
мотает. Мы походим, צוחקים להם, ירו לנו את החיישת, וצחוק, ופשוט הם לא פוחדים,
צוחק. זה מה שמביא אותם.
רגע, אבל אז השוק גם העולם יגיד מה אתם
מפורשים.
אתה לא מפחד מהעולם, ביבי.
במיוחד היום עם אמריקה, אני יודע מה זה אמריקה. אמריקה זה לא שאפשר להזיז אותו בקלות, להזיז לכיוון הנכון. אה, לא יפריע לו.
אז
כשאני אומר, אנחנו עושים לזה
משהו, אז
אם... יש עליה, נניח, שאומרים משהו. 80% באמריקאים תומכים בנו. זה אבסורד. יש עליה, נניח, שאומרים משהו. 80% באמריקאים תומכים בנו. זה אבסורד.
Dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. David Cohen, Deputy Director of the CIA, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Who's in charge of the most powerful positions of our nation? Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Merrick Garland, Attorney General, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of Homeland Security for our country, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Avril Haines, Director of National Intelligence, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Hey, brother, I hope you have a blessed day. Keep on fighting, brother. Jeff Zients, White House Chief of Staff, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Four-star Admiral Rachel Levine, U.S. Assistant Secretary of Health. U.S. Assistant Secretary of Health. Transgender can't figure out their gender, but they're the Secretary of Health for our country and a four-star admiral, Jew. Antony Blinken, Secretary of the State. Dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Wendy Sherman, Deputy Secretary of the State. Dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Victoria Nolan, Secretary for Political Affairs, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. David S. Cohen, Deputy Director of the CIA, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Lieutenant Colonel Jennifer Pritzker, transgender, Jew. Now we'll talk about who's behind abortion. Mr. Ballou, help father the abortion pill, known for father of the abortion pill, worldwide for his work on RU486 mifepristone, Jew. Alan Guttmacher, president of Planned Parenthood, vice president of the American Eugenics Society, Jew. Vanya Mindell, started Planned Parenthood with Margaret Sanger and her sister, Jew. Founding father of abortion movement, one of the founders of the pro-abortion group NARA, Lord Slater, Jew. Henry Morton Goller, father of abortion in Canada, first doctor in North America to use vacuum aspiration, which means using a vacuum to suck up the poor baby fetuses from the mother. He's a Jew. Gregory Pincus, father of the birth control pill, worked with Margaret Sanger and Abraham Stone to begin hormonal contraceptive research. Jew. Malvin Weisberg, operated an abortion clinic in California, where 16,431 aborted fetuses were found in his shipping container on his property. Jew. Paul Ehrlich, father of the overpopulation theory, says you're having too many babies, says you gotta start cutting back and having abortions, wrote the population bomb in 1968. Jew. Now we'll go through and talk about who's taking the guns away. Who's taking your right to bear arms away? Senator Herbert Cole passed the Gun-Free Schools Act of 1990, the Gun-Free Schools Act of 1995, the Child Safety Locked Act of 1999. Herbert Cole's a Jew. Senator Barbara Boxer, American Handgun Standards Act of 1999, the Firearm Licensing and Record of Sale Act of 2000 and 2001. She's a Jew. Congressman Emanuel Seller, Gun Control Act of 1968, Jew. Senator Howard Metzenbaugh, the every violation of Gun Control Act of 1968. Help pass the plastic guns ban. Help pass the specific semi-auto rifles ban. Help pass the Brady Bill and the Brady Bill 2, which means you gotta wait for a certain amount of time before you have your right to bear arms. He's a Jew. Senator Dianne Feinstein, the every violation of Gun Control Act of 1968. The large capacity ammunition magazine import ban. The Firearm Licensing and Record of Sale Act of 2000 and 2001. She's a Jew. Congressman Senator Chuck Schumer helped pass the Brady and Gun Protection Act, the Brady Bill 2, the Assault Weapons Provision, the Firearm Licensing and Record of Sale Act of 2000 and of 2001. Chuck Schumer is a Jew. Senator Frank Lautenberg, he helped pass the Gun-Free Schools Act of 1995, the Lautenberg Domestic Confiscation Provision, the Stop Gun Trafficking Act of 1999, the Gun Show Accountability Act of 1999, the Gun Industry Accountability Act of 1999. He's a Jew. Congressman Gerald Nadler, Protecting Our Kids Act. He's a Jew. Now we'll talk about who's behind COVID. Who's behind COVID? We'll talk about who's trying to get people to take the experimental jabs. CDC Director, Director of the Center for Disease Control, Rochelle Walensky, Jew. CDC Deputy Director, Ann Schwalchit, Jew. CDC Chief of Staff, Sherry Berger, Jew. CDC Chief Medical Officer, Mitchell Wolf, Jew. CDC Director in the Washington office, Jeff Rezik, Jew. COVID Czar Jeff Zients, Jew. COVID Senior Advisor Andy Slavitt, Jew. Assistant Health Secretary for our country, but they can't even figure out their own gender because they're transgender, but they're in charge of health of our country, Rachel Levine, Jew. Head of Pfizer, Albert Bourla, Jew. Pfizer Chief Scientist Michael Dostin, Jew. Moderna Chief Scientist Tal Zaks, Jew. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, Jew. BlackRock President Rob Capital, Jew. Chief Medical Officer of Johnson & Johnson, Jew. Chief Medical Officer of Merck Michael Rosenbaum, Jew. Executive Chairman World Economic Forum Klaus Schwab, you either love him or you hate him. The head advisor, working right there, best friends with the guy that says you'll own nothing one day and you'll love it, Mr. Yuval Harari, Jew. Now we'll go through and we'll talk about the Federal Reserve. Who's been operating the chair and vice chair of our Federal Reserve? William Hardy, second chair of the Federal Reserve, Jew. Paul Warburg, second vice chair of the Federal Reserve, Jew. Eugene Meyer, fifth chair of the Federal Reserve, Jew. Eugene Robert Black, sixth chair of the Federal Reserve, Jew. Arthur Burns, 10th chair of our Federal Reserve, Jew. Paul Volcker, 12th chair of the Federal Reserve, Jew. Alan Greenspan, 13th chair of the Federal Reserve, Jew. Ben Bernanke, 14th chair of the Federal Reserve, Jew. Alan Blinder, 15th vice chair of our Federal Reserve, Jew. Janet Yellen, 15th chair of the Federal Reserve, Jew. Alice Mitchell Rivlin, 16th vice chair of the Federal Reserve, Jew. Donald Cohen, 18th vice chair of the Federal Reserve, Jew. Stanley Fester, 20th vice chair of the Federal Reserve, Jew. What's up, brother? Well, you can find somewhere else. This is public space. I gotta expose the corrupt government. I tried to warn you before I started.
It's the Jew guy.
Dude, have a blessed day.
I love you.
I love you too, brother. Now let's talk about 9/11. Who's behind 9/11? Well, have you heard of Lucky Larry? Larry Silverstein, a Jew, purchased the Twin Towers a few months before the terrorist attack. Happened to put an insurance policy for a few $100 million. What did he collect a couple months later? $4.5 billion.
I want to show you something, and because I know what you're thinking. I know what you're probably thinking right now. You're thinking, oh, sure, Rick Sanchez, of course. What you're probably talking about is one of those obscure state laws like the one they have in Alaska that says if you accidentally kill a moose, you have to eat it. That's actually a law in Alaska, by the way. There's one in Georgia that says it's illegal to sleep on a boat for more than 30 days. True. No, we're not talking about an obscure law. What we're talking about is an Israeli loyalty oath law that is becoming so common in the United States, it's now pervasive. Take a look at the map. You see the red states? See all of those red states? 26 states have enacted this loyalty oath legislation. And let me show you the other one, the navy blue ones, the blue ones you see there. That's where this law is now pending. So 26 acted on, passed, 13 pending, only 11 states, the light blue ones you see there, the baby blue or the light blue, those are the ones where you can boycott Israel and, you know, criticize Israel if you want. Again, look, it bears repeating. There is no such law keeping you from denouncing or boycotting the United States of America or even advocating causes that harm the U.S. economically. But there are laws from doing that against Israel. Curious.
Perhaps the most shocking example of Jewish control over this once great nation is what former Georgia Democrat U.S. Congresswoman Cynthia Ann McKinney told us in 2006 when she was continually pressured to sign a pledge of allegiance to Israel with the understanding she would receive all the money she needed to win re-election. The American Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC, the most powerful lobby in Washington, was behind it. When she refused to do it, they launched an epic attack against her that removed her from office. Here are some highlights from my interview with Dr. Cynthia McKinney.
Let me ask you about this pledge, because not very many people know about it, and that's understandable, because people really have to want to understand the issue here, and many don't. But it was on a program on, I think it was Al Jazeera, or...
No, it was Press TV.
Press TV, right. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and it TV. Was a girlfriend of mine, Marzieh Hashemi, who yes. is a U.S. citizen who lives in Iran. It was in her interview that I first disclosed it, and it really, really hit them hard. Because it was sort of like the secret about the former member of Congress saying, I don't know if he's former or if he's current, who said they buy their committee assignments kind of thing. So it was like accepted. And the reason I believe it was accepted is basically all of political money in the U.S. Well, now you've got more people involved, but the Zionist Israel First money is what underpins the Democratic Party, and it used to be, to a lesser extent, the Republican Party, but now the Republican Party and the Democratic parties, both. And that's why when the signing of the pledge, nobody said anything about it, but I was offended by it. And my entire 12 years in Congress was bumping up against these people who controlled everything. They literally controlled the budget. They controlled, well, the budget process, what got in the budget, what got a line item. And it was just a horrible experience for me. It was like, what do you call that? Trench warfare.
Many people have heard the term ZOG, Z-O-G, Zionist Occupied Government. Is it ZOG?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
This particular show with your friend on Press TV, you said, well, every candidate for Congress at that time had a pledge, given a pledge to sign. And I was new on the scene. And so the pledge had Jerusalem as a capital city, the military supreme, and she cut you off and she said, American Congress people have to sign this pledge. My first question is, did the pledge take the form of physical paper?
Yes, the pledge was a piece of paper that was faxed to my home. which is where I was receiving all of the faxes in the early days of my candidacy back in 1992.
Wow. So the pledge was an actual physical piece of paper. Do you know who actually sent it over to you?
Yes, it was from AIPAC.
And it's not just on the federal level where Jewish money influences politicians. Currently, 35 U.S. states have legislation in effect that limits the free speech rights of Americans at the expense of Jews in Israel. Essentially, Jewish money has turned America into Western Israel. Now let's go to Io for his analysis of this troubling information.
That was another excellent synopsis of what we're dealing with in terms of Jews and politics. In fact, when I heard Dave talking and he said we go from a two-party system to a one-party system, I thought to myself, we go from a two-party system to a Jew-party system, because the Jews control all the parties and they just having a party in politics. When he talked about Dr. Cynthia McKinney, where we just listened, it's amazing to me. This is, I would say, the most relevant politician, period, in terms of the American Republic in the 21st century. This is the woman who came out, and to this day, I haven't heard anyone in the 21st century state that Israel was requesting, almost demanding, that U.S. politicians make a pledge to another country, which at this point we know is hostile to the U.S. Interests, as far as I'm concerned. This is the first person that I heard in politics come out and say that. And that was 2006. I don't know that anything has changed since that time. But what it means is, it appears that even though we elect these political people into the positions, at least before they start doing the new thing, where they're still in the elections, but at some point in the 21st century, we were voting and electing people. But we thought that we were electing them to represent American citizens, when in fact, as it relates to the national interest, it appears that's never been the case. Well, we don't know when, I don't know when it started or when it didn't, but, and I want people out there to think about this. When have you gone and taken what Dr. Cynthia McKinney shared with all of us, Congresswoman, and then gone further and then asked specifically to your congressional people, have you made a pledge to Israel? Who's done that? And why haven't all of us gone to see, have you made a pledge to protect the interests of Israel? The only pledge people are supposed to be making is a pledge to the United States of America.
Biden's administration, which you detail in your book, you've got, I think, something like, just his cabinet is like something like 74% Jewish. And of course, one of the members of that cabinet left that, you know, the chief of staff, Ron Klain, replaced by another Jew. So if you think about the diversity that they all want, right, you've got 3/4 of the cabinet are Jews. 3/4. Where's the diversity?
You know what's interesting in what you're saying? When I did the research and looked at the Obama cabinet and who was surrounding Obama, his handlers and the cabinet, and the Trump cabinet, to your point, now we're talking about the cabinet, but who's closer to a person, their cabinet or their family? So if we look at both Trump and Biden, all of their children married to Jews. Now, I think Trump Jr., I think he divorced the Jew he was married to, but nevertheless, all the children of the last two presidents married to Jews, which means even if they're not the president, they have complete family control. We're talking about, it's like a swarm. It's like a complete overthrow where every access to power, every point to an access of power, Jews have invaded politically. To the point you were talking about something about free speech. And recently I've been going to the Maryland state government and to the House and to the Senate and testifying against bills where literally Jews, I mean, in Maryland, they're not hiding it. They're doing it around in Florida as well. But literally, they have bills that say, we want to be the ones that pick and determine what a hate crime is.
Thank you, Chair and panel, for hearing my testimony. I'm against this bill. I classify this now as This is in a group of bills that I'm seeing that are very disturbing and concerning to me. I call them the Protect the Jew bills. There's a bunch of bills that don't specifically say that, but it's Jews saying, don't criticize Jews, and any criticism of Jews is hate crimes. This is where I have a problem with that. Criticism of Jews in the United States of America is called the First Amendment. And anytime you make the criticism of someone a crime, you are infringing dangerously close upon sedition. You're stripping, is this the United States of America or is this Western Israel?
Cole discovered something. Thank you, Carter Rush. He had his office call all of your waiver statistics. I was in his time report and that time report. I did Harris and they all said it was Gold's time. Gold's time. Yeah. But they didn't tell you. I said, who were they? I want to look at any sensitive areas around where Jews are involved. See, the Jews are all through the government. And we have got to get in those areas. We've got to get the man in charge who is not Jewish to control the Jewish. You understand?
I sure do.
The government is full of Jews.
I sure do.
Second, most Jews are disloyal. You know what I mean? You have a garment and a Kissinger. And frankly, a satire. And I got their exemptions. But Bob, generally speaking, you can't trust the bastards. They turn on you. Are you correct? Am I wrong or right?
And their whole orientation is against this administration anyway. Or against
you. They have this arrogant attitude, too.
That's right.
So?
And they're smart. They have the ability to do what they want to do, which is to hurt us. Which is the problem. They have the ability that some people that are
very interested in not doesn't have any Jews. He's only got. And he got this one, he's got quite a few horrible bastards, by the way.
His aides, none of his aides have ever been to him. Even Tony Legg, who turned on this.
That's right.
But his, the young guys that he's always had.
But I really feel that once the Jews turn, now I guess particularly the type of Jews, throughout the administration, he's got a Jewish set in any place, and they're all working on it. Let's see what we can do about it.
The Jews would have us believe that there's something sacred about the Western Wall, that it's a remnant of the Second Temple, where paper prayers of the Goyim are snatched by the Divine Presence, who supposedly dwells within its crevices and stones. Dead wrong. The Wailing Wall is actually the remains of a Roman fortress named Fort Antonia, built north of the actual temple site, where no protruding rock ever existed, but rather was built upon the Gihon Spring. The rock upon which the Dome of the Rock was built, adjoining the Western Wall, was actually the centerpiece around which Fort Antonia was built. There's nothing sacred about this rock or this wall. The Wailing Wall is the seat of a satanic ritual outlined by the 13th century Jewish occult system known as the Kabbalah, as expounded in the Zohar and expanded upon by the 18th century Hasidic movement. You see, this so-called divine presence at the Wailing Wall is actually the Kabbalistic feminine emanation of their false god, the Shekinah. Watch closely how the rabbis thrust their pelvises and penises back and forth in a prescribed prayer movement called dovening, in which the Jew copulates with the Shekinah in order to give birth to an erotic union with the Ein Sof, the Kabbalistic masculine emanation of their false god. Now watch this young Jewish boy who, instinctively knowing that dovening is a lewd and embarrassing act, just can't bring himself to perform the thrusting of his pelvis. My friends, for Rand Paul and for so many other saps like McCain, Bush, Obama, Clinton, and Romney, to perform the rite of political passage at the Wailing Wall is nothing less than to shake hands with the devil. And if God doesn't dwell in temples made by human hands, as the Bible tells us, much less would he dwell in a Roman fortress. Not only are our politicians selling their souls to the Jews at a Roman fortress named Fort Antonia, misnamed the Western Wall, they're participating in a lewd occult ritual where the so-called divine presence is actually Satan himself. God will not be mocked. Let God be true, and the Jews liars.
Real men, white Christian men.
All right, so it's not that the Jew runs the media or that he owns all the banks.
The Jews clearly control the media and the banks. They undermine traditional life, and they deracinate society, tear out the roots. A real people derives its genius from the land, from the sun, from the sea, from the soil, you know? This is how they know themselves. But, like, Jews don't even have soil. Notice the Israelis. It's a fundamentally secular society. They no longer need Judaism because they have soil, because the real Jew is a wanderer. He's a nomad. He's got no roots and no attachments, so he universalizes everything. He can't hammer a nail or plow a field. All he can do is buy and sell and invest capital and manipulate markets, and, you know, it's like all mental. He takes a life of a people that's rooted in soil, and then he turns it into this cosmopolitan culture based on books and numbers and ideas, and, you know, this is his strength. You can take the greatest Jewish minds ever. Marx, Freud, Einstein, what have they given us? Communism, infantile sexuality, and the atom bomb. In the mere 3 centuries, it's taken these people to emerge from the ghettos of Europe. They've ripped us out of a world of order and reason. They've thrown us into a chaos of class warfare, irrational urges, relativity, into a world where now the very existence of matter and meaning is in question. Why? Because it's the deepest impulse of a Jewish soul to pull at the very fabric of life till there's nothing left but a thread. They want nothing but nothingness. Nothingness without end.
Wow.